Welcome to Winning STL, where we have conversations about how St. Louis can best compete and win in the battle for talent, jobs, growth, and equity. Winning STL is presented by Purina, who creates richer lives for pets and the people who love them, and is proudly called St. Louis home since 1894. Today, we are downtown at the Post Building, a dynamic workspace for geospatial and fintech in St. Louis. Joining me today is Dr. Alexander Garza, former Assistant Secretary for Health Affairs and Chief Medical Officer of the Department of Homeland Security. Today, he serves as Chief Community Health Officer at SSM Health. Dr. Garza, thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. Garza, Chief Community Health Officer.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What is the role? How do you define success in that?
Yeah, it's a little bit different than most of the roles in healthcare. So me and my team, we focus on all of those elements really outside of the healthcare delivery system that really produce the majority of impact on a person's health. So there's a common statistic that we use that about 20% of a person's health or a community's health is really dependent on the healthcare system. The other 80% are things like genetics, but a lot of it is environment and other issues. We collectively call them the social determinants of health. So okay. Think about things like education, occupation, income, housing, food, transportation, all of those different things, which is a little bit different than, hey, when you're sick, we're going to be taking care of you.
Okay. Now, some of those are pretty big picture things that would be pretty hard to change or address. So how do you go at those?
Right. And we make sure that we point that out, that these us alone, us, the healthcare system, are not going to turn these things around without help from the entire community. So we do things like we partner with other community-based organizations, with other businesses, with other healthcare systems, with public health, to come up with some solutions to have an impact on those. The biggest effort that we have ongoing right now is in access to healthy foods and food insecurity. So the way that we go about doing that is we survey all of the patients that come into our hospital on certain things. Do you have access to healthy food? Do you have transportation? Do you have housing? We have programs here in St. Louis. It's called the Bread Basket Program. And so what we do is we send patients home with 3 days of healthy food. But we also have a connection with the St. Louis Area Food Bank, and we refer them on to the food bank so that they can follow them once they're outside of the hospital, get them set up with local resources. The goal isn't necessarily just to send them home with food, but to put them on the path to food security. And then there's other programs that we have where we're trying to improve those different issues as well. So whether it's housing, whether it's trying to keep people away from personal loans by investing in credit unions. There's a lot of small programs, but turning that tide is extremely challenging, but we're trying to do our part.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought in your purview you were looking at even things like that. I'm betting that financial security leads to better health outcomes,
no,
not surprisingly.
Absolutely. You know, one of the biggest drivers of good health is, of course, having a good job. And so if we can create an environment where people have some economic stability, we know that down the road that leads to better health. And I think that really resonates in our vision statement, which is peace, hope, and health for every person, for every family, and for every community, especially those most in need. And so those two things sort of marry up. We want people to be healthy, but we also want them to live in peace, particularly those that are the most vulnerable in our society.
What would you say are the health outcomes that we can tangibly impact in St. Louis that we collectively, the medical community, others, should be focused on?
Some of the top ones are not necessarily strictly medical at all. They're really sort of almost social issues. So the number one issue that we found in St. Louis City, so we have different markets, was gun violence. And then healthy food access and mental and behavioral health. And so some of those are things that, yes, we can work on as a healthcare system. So certainly we take care of trauma patients. But the goal really is to reduce the violence in the community. And so we have programs within our trauma center to try and reduce recidivism. So patients going back into community where they know they're going to be harmed again. The other one's mental and behavioral health. We try and develop programs to gain access. So allowing more people to come in for unscheduled visits with our behavioral health urgent care, the food access stuff we spoke about as well. Mm-hmm. But inevitably, a lot of these issues are really reduced down to there's an extreme amount of really concentrated poverty within the St. Louis area as well. And if you look at outcomes from those, a lot of crime, a lot of violence, a lot of disease. So whether it's like diabetes, hypertension, stroke, things like that, just a lot of outcomes that are really undesirable that come out of areas of extreme poverty.
Do you see some areas where you could point to and say, wow, St. Louis, we've really gotten better. These are health outcomes that are better.
Yeah.
I'd be curious what they are.
Yeah, even gun violence, we've actually gotten better. So if you look at the peak of homicides, so I'm just going to use homicides, there's a whole separate category of people that are injured from gun violence. Mm-hmm. But even just homicides, the peak has come down from the pandemic. And so we are at a considerably lower rate now with homicides. Now, it's still too high, but at a minimum, we are on the downward slope from there. The other big one is opioids and substance use disorder. Those have steadily come down as well. And I think that's partly due to recognition that this is a public health issue, that it's more of a disease that needs treatment and understanding more so than just a criminal justice or a prosecution issue.
Can I ask what, I don't know if worse is the correct word, or what gives you concern? What health outcomes do you not see improving fast enough?
Yeah. So I would say there's some that have either plateaued or they haven't gotten better, but they haven't gotten worse. And those are some chronic disease conditions. So things like hypertension, diabetes, asthma, things like that. We still have a particular problem with sexually transmitted infections as well. We're higher than most of the nation.
You mentioned the pandemic. Many people watching this will remember you from your star turn as the St. Louis's health expert on the topic. What did you learn in that role, and what do you take from it, and how does it guide you today?
This was a very unique situation. A once-in-a-century pandemic. I often liken this to sort of wartime. If we had seen this number of people that had perished due to war, this arguably would have been World War III. It had a tremendous impact. And so that was very, very complex and almost overwhelming to deal with. The things that I took away from it, though, is that, and maybe this fits in with my community health approach, is that we're better at dealing with these issues when we work together. And so when we formed the task force, it was, of course, as you know, the healthcare systems, but it was also public health, the business community, other people, the elected officials, everybody sort of came together and said, we need to all come together to deal with it. And so that's what that's one of the big lessons I took away, was that if we work collaboratively, we can have big impact on what seemed like intractable problems. I think the other issues that came along were the issues with the distrust in medical science and public health, the political aspect of what you thought was going to be a pretty straightforward,
right,
respiratory disease, and then the use of social media to spread disinformation regarding the pandemic or the vaccine or any of those other components. Were I think three of the really big issues that you learned quite a bit about during the course of the pandemic, and that continue to play out today. I mean, I think discussion to say part of what we're seeing today is a direct result of some of those issues.
Well, to that end, how do you see your role and maybe others' role to, political leaders? How do you combat misinformation without censorship or without overstepping and making it worse? What do you do?
Yeah, it's challenging. So I don't want to let the medical establishment and public health off the hook either, because I think we could have done a better job at community. When I say the we, it's really the broader
sure,
we.
Sure.
There were at times where I found some of the talking points or, some of the discussion coming out of the CDC, I was like, I don't think people that came up with these really understand the impact that it has at the local level or at the individual level. But to answer your question, I think what we did during the pandemic, and I'm not saying this just because I was the one doing it, but I think if you were honest and transparent with the public and admitting when you don't know the answer to something and tell people this is evolving, you know, as we learn more, we'll be able to tell you more, we'll be able to give better guidance and admit when, hey, things didn't work out the way that we thought they were gonna work out. I think that builds trust in the community, but you have to be willing to be very vulnerable. I don't think that we should be lending false equivalency to fringe theories about, you know, the validity of science. Does medicine evolve? Absolutely. Do we understand new things in disease and in process and in treatment? Absolutely. But it's a process, and we have to trust the process.
And it does seem the pushback from all that happened in COVID has kind of grown to encompass vaccines in general, which I'm sure as someone who does what you do is frustrating.
Yeah, extremely frustrating. And in particular, because we've had these vaccines for years and years and years, and they have proven safety profiles and they have proven effect on protecting the population. But I think if you go to, you know, a third world country or countries that are experiencing, you know, famine or things like that, and see, you know, a cholera outbreak or a measles outbreak, things like that, you quickly understand how devastating communicable disease can be. And so it's very, it's alarming that we've sort of devalued what we've sort of taken for granted as we're going to be protected against these diseases and therefore I don't need vaccine. And it's very challenging when you're in an exam room with a patient and you're trying to have that discussion. Part of it relates back to what I said before about, I think we also need to understand where people are coming from. And it's difficult sometimes for us to say, like, well, why wouldn't you accept this? Like,
right,
you come in here and you let me sew up your cut, you let me take care of your broken bone. I've learned how to do this. I know the science behind it.
Right.
Why would you question me on this?
Let's bring it back to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I notice when I'm on my way home from the city to University City, I go by the rising of the new Cardinal Glennon.
Yeah.
Seems like there's a commitment for SSM to be in the city, or at least to continue the presence in these areas where it started.
Yeah. So, you know, we could have chosen to build the new St. Louis University Hospital away from the old one, but we didn't. We put it right next to it. And then when we discussed where should we put the new children's hospital, there was never any discussion about moving away from the community that we serve. And that's really just a commitment to the community, to the city. It's part of our social teaching about serving those most in need. And so, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic new building. You're going to have to come out and tour it when it's all done.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
You're from here,
yes.
Right? And what gives you optimism about the place as a whole, the region? What do you love about it? And what do you think, hey, this is going in the right way? We should keep doing this.
Yeah. You know, St. Louis, I think, is first an incredible city. So I moved away from St. Louis after high school. I lived in Kansas City for a while. Lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, up in Washington, D.C. when I worked for the federal government, and then moved back to St. Louis. And one of the things that, after we'd been away for a while, when we came back, we were really struck with the friendliness of St. Louis in general.
It is a real thing.
It is. I think the other things, so we have very good bones, I think. We've been here since the founding of the country, and we've accomplished all of these really great things. Currently, I think we have really great institutions. So the business community is very dynamic in St. Louis. It's a very different feel when you're at those other cities. You know, there's not an Enterprise here. There's not a Ralston Purina. There's not a you name it company in Anheuser-Busch. I think the other pieces that we have is we have really just world-class research and education institutions here with WashU, with SLU, with the other colleges that surround here. And then the cultural amenities, I think, are huge. So I think we have all of the ingredients to really push us forward to whatever St. Louis is going to be next. Granted, we have some intractable issues that we really need to solve for, But at the end of the day, we have everything that we need to really be a great city.
And what would, you know, we don't want to end on a downer, but
yeah.
I guess we do have to kind of get to what in your mind is that thing or things that we need to solve to be this better version of what we want to be.
Yeah, I think the city-county divide, I think, is really holding us back. If you look at other major metropolitan areas, the landmass of the city or the governance of the city is very different than what you see in St. Louis City, St. Louis County. So if you look at places like Indianapolis, like Charlotte, like Nashville, where there are either city-county governance or there's shared services, they're able to much more, I think, quickly move to push their cities forward or to be aligned in all of the strategies that they want to be able to execute on or to provide more efficient and effective services. So I do think that that is one piece that we do have to solve for. It may not be, hey, city and county merge, but it could be things like, let's share some services. And then I think, you know, we spoke about this a little bit before, but the, you know, the concentrated poverty, we really need to solve for that as well. And I don't know what that looks like, maybe education, maybe job training, maybe, you know, occupations, all of these different things. But if you look at some of the worst outcomes that come from the city and from the county, it's typically in places where there is just generational poverty. I don't know if you'll ever really solve poverty, but at least have a significant impact on it as well.
Well, I think that's maybe an encouraging way to wrap this up. Want to thank you so much and want to thank you for all the service for the country and for the region.
Absolutely.
And really appreciate you coming down today.
Yeah,
thank you.
No problem. Thank you.